Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, let the big dog hunt. Welcome, everybody, to another exciting episode of Callous Remarks with Joe Stazak and my man, Steve Callous. It is December 13th, the year 2016 of our Lord. We're going to take a look back at week 14, a look ahead to week 15 of the National Football League. We're winding down, stretch drive here towards the playoffs, and, of course, without further ado, my man, Steve Callous. How are you, my friend?
I'm good, Joe. Always great to do this with you.
You too, my friend. My favorite 45 minutes of the week. Where do we begin? I think the streak that got snapped, we'll start there. The Dallas Cowboys, they have 11 wins this year, sandwiched between two losses by your team, your town, your New York Giants. Kind of a little bit of diet football the other night. Not too many calories in that game, but hey, a win is a win. Big win for the Giants. Dak Prescott, first two-pick game, and your thoughts, my friend, on the G-Men?
Well, I mean, they've propelled them right into the middle of this with Seattle taking another gigantic step backwards. Beckham
right.
On a crossing route is the most dangerous play in the NFL by far now. Every time this guy catches a six-yard crossing pattern, he can go 60. It's really stunning how fast he is with the ball in his hands. But give the Giants credit. Now, Tom Coughlin's probably at home complaining that, you know, they spent $200 million on this defense. You know, if you let me do it, I could have beat six Patsies in a row and then beat the Cowboys twice. But you have to give the Giants credit. To me, they're right in the mix because their defense is playing better. Everybody said without JPP they were going to go backwards. They really didn't. Dak Prescott for the first time really looked like a rookie, maybe since the first game. I mean, he was mediocre. You know, you're already hearing, I don't know if you heard the Jerry Jones comments, they're fantastic, where he says,
yes.
They asked him, well, what would you have to see to put Romo back in for Prescott?
I was going to ask you that, yes.
Never mind that he's not the coach, but he is the coach and the GM and the owner. You know, maybe
right?
He sells peanuts in the luxury box,
yeah,
I don't know. But he said,
man, he does everything.
Yeah, it's so funny because he said, I can't really define it, but I'll know it when I see it. And the extended comments were, he goes, I heard this once, somebody say this about a negative subject. It's so hysterically funny because it was actually a Supreme Court Justice of the United States and a ruling on an obscenity case where he actually wrote in the Supreme Court opinion, I can't define obscenity, but I know it when I see it. So believe it or not, here's Jerry Jones, you know, 30 years later or whenever that opinion was, actually quoting a Supreme Court justice, probably without knowing it, and saying, I don't know when Tony Romo's coming in for Dak, but I'll know it when I see it. And apparently down in Dallas, there's already some rumblings. You know, I saw ESPN put up some stats on rookie quarterbacks in the playoffs, and, you know, none of them have ever even gotten to a Super Bowl. At least that was the stat on ESPN. But the point, of course, is rookie quarterbacks in the playoffs don't do too well. And really, even against the Vikings, Dak was okay, but not great. So we'll just have to see if it's going to be more pressure than anything else down there in Dallas.
Yeah, that's an interesting one because Dak hasn't been dynamic, but he's been very solid and he's done everything he needed to do to take his team to an 11-2 win. You know, Jerry Jones likes a little bit of flash. He likes a guy who can, put up some gaudy numbers and do some. I don't know if Dak has limits right now because of just the way he plays football. You know, I don't know if he's ever going to throw up a five-touchdown game with 400 yards. I've seen Romo do it before. I wouldn't be all that surprised if, it's a short leash on Dak, despite the fact his two picks the other day were the first interceptions he's thrown in like seven games. So what are your thoughts on that? Would you ever consider, let's say Steve Callous is the head coach, and let's say a subpar performance the other night. He did enough to win on the road in Minnesota the week before. They won at home against Washington on Thanksgiving Day, but nothing to earth-shattering, and you might need earth-shattering when you get into the playoffs when the defenses are much better and it's certainly a different atmosphere. Your thoughts on any chance of bringing Tony Romo back?
Well, I think there is a chance only because of the characters involved, and I'll mention one more behind the scenes. You don't know what Dez Bryant is thinking, but he had one catch towards the end of the game yesterday, and he fumbled that catch, which was kind of the deciding factor, frankly. So I think there might be a lot of things working against Dak. It'll turn, I think, quicker in Dallas than it would in most other places. But given his okay performance against Minnesota, he threw a couple of passes late that he had to throw to win the game. Performance against the Giants. With only a few games left, you don't know. It'll turn quickly. If he plays poorly the next game or two, I think they might want to make the switch to see what Romo has before there's a playoff game. And I think Dallas is more – I don't believe in Dallas as America's team myself, but I think Dallas is more in the spotlight because of the owner. And you tell me, what's Dez Bryant saying behind the scenes? Tony Romo has been his man for many years. They have a great chemistry.
Yep.
And Dez, in and out of the lineup this year also, has not really developed that chemistry with Dak. But I agree with you from an explosiveness, 400-yard, four or five touchdown game. It's much more likely than Tony Romo. But the Dak believers will say, yeah, but four interceptions is much more Tony Romo, and Dak's thrown four in the whole season, and Tony throws them in the game and has done it a number of times, as you know. So do you want the glitz? And, you know, I did hear – who was it? I heard somebody, a knowledgeable guy, say, I think it was Keyshawn Johnson, who I like because he tells you what he's thinking. He said, well, how many playoff games has Tony Romo won? And he's got a point.
Exactly, two.
He's got a point.
Yeah,
so
he does have,
we'll see.
He does have a point.
And I think the Giants put themselves into the mix because their defense is playing much better. Again, the top teams, I didn't even think the Patriots were that good yesterday. We'll get to them, I'm sure. But the top teams to me are coming back to the pack. Seattle, you know, I thought their defense would travel. Their defense didn't travel. When was the last time you could say that about Seattle? They've lost two terrible games on the road now to Tampa Bay and Seattle, to Tampa Bay and Green Bay. So the top teams, including the Patriots, they had that big lead and almost gave it away to a Ravens team that, despite all the stats they put up on Monday Night Football, all of which are regular season stats, for example, the Patriots are now 50-1 at home against AFC opponents since 2007, but they forgot to put in the regular season because the Ravens beat them twice in the playoffs, and even the Jets beat them in the playoffs, you know, in the glory days of Rex Ryan and Mark Sanchez. So you got to look beyond the stats sometimes because they do it in baseball too. They give you the regular season stats, and then the guy got beat in the World Series at home or whatever.
Right.
So you got to be careful. The record books, for some reason, are written like regular season, postseason. But obviously the postseason losses, the Ravens are 2-2 against the Patriots in the postseason. So that's better than anybody, frankly. So, well, maybe not better than the Giants, but I'm biased. But in any event, my point is these top teams – are coming back to the pack, and if you ask me right now who's the best team, I'll still say the Patriots. But again, I thought the Ravens almost had that miracle comeback yesterday against them as well.
They did. They made it a ball game. You know, Tom Brady got his team out to a 23-3 lead. 39 years old. He takes the four games off to go to Italy or whatever he did in the four games. He comes back. You know, he's got 22 touchdowns, two picks. You know, doesn't matter who's out there. Martellus Bennett, Chris Hogan. There are guys each week I like, oh, when did they sign him? The guy who just scored the 59-yard touchdown. That team just never ceases to amaze me. They continue to win. Obviously, it's Brady and Belichick's show. 11-2 on the season, and that one loss was to Buffalo before Tom Brady took over. So they did blow a big lead, and they messed up on special teams a couple turnovers there. And I agree with you. I still think they are the team. What are your thoughts on the Ravens? I mean, they're 7-6. You know, they struggle to win games. They did have the best defense in the league coming in statistically, and you know the Patriots dropped 30 on them. They have the Eagles next week. They're one game behind the Steelers. Can they do anything? Can they sniff the playoffs?
I think they can sniff the playoffs. I think Flacco's playing better. I think their defense is excellent. They still have crazy Terrell Suggs from the glory days there. I think they can. And, again, I thought they played very well. You know, it was 16-0. Of course, my son's in California. We're texting 52 times the Patriots game, mostly more from him than from me. But, you know, at 16-0, Tom Brady. Now, look, how can you criticize Tom Brady? But he just throws one of those incredibly stupid interceptions. It was Tom Brady. If you recall, they're up 16-0. They're driving. You know, they can end the game if they score a TD there. But even if they don't, 19-0 is much bigger than 16-0 because of the two-point conversion in football. Now, Brady so doesn't want to get sacked that he just kind of throws it up for grabs in the end zone. And the Ravens intercept. And even at half, I texted my son, you know, 16-0. They come down and score a field goal, so 16-3. I'm like, 19-0 or 19-3 is a lot better than 16-3.
Yeah.
And sure enough,
yeah,
they came back. And when it got to 23-10, and I've told you this before on the air, my son goes with the dreaded 13. We're up by the dreaded 13. And sure enough, they go 23-17, and they're driving again. And give the Patriots all the credit, because to hold them to a field goal right there was arguably the turning point of the game, because if the Ravens take the lead, do I think Brady can come back? Of course I do, but they don't take the lead, and then they have that defensive breakdown for that Chris Hogan, 79 yards, I think it was. He was wide open,
79
untouched.
Yards.
And then they announced, yeah, I didn't know this, maybe you did, because you're a Philly guy, I'm a New York guy, but Hogan went to Monmouth. I didn't know that.
Yes,
so
he did. Yeah,
there's your stat of the college of
that's
the day.
Good. That's very
but,
good.
But he was so wide open, and that really did end the game. And, you know, the Ravens had to kick that field goal to get their backdoor push, I guess it was.
Yes, they did.
But,
they screwed me on that one.
Yeah, and then the onside kick was a low roller that literally never bounced up, so it was easy to handle. So I don't think the Patriots played particularly well, but then you look up and Brady throws for 400 yards against the best defense in football. So maybe I'm not seeing things, but clearly when it was 23-3 and then it was 23-17 and the Ravens were driving, you were like, oh, my goodness, this is the best team in football? So, yeah,
right,
I do think
yeah,
the Ravens are still a threat. I do think they're a playoff team. If they wind up being a playoff team and going into New England, they are one team. Whatever you say about the Ravens, they're not afraid to play the Patriots. And they'll slug it out with them. You know, I would still like the Patriots, of course, but the Ravens are no pushover, even in Foxborough.
Did you ever think the top team in the league led by Tom Brady would have two receivers, one from Monmouth and one from Kent State, a seventh-round pick in Julian Edelman?
Yeah, that quarterback, right?
Yes, right? I mean, it's just amazing. And of course, you mentioned Joe Flacco, 6 touchdowns in the last 2 games, only because I cut him from my team last week, and he decides to go. He decides to go bananas. So what do you
But a good
do?
Decision at the time when you made it, Joe. That was a good. See, that's the problem with the NFL this year. That was probably a smart move. Why did this guy wake up the last 2 weeks? I can't answer that question.
I needed a tight end. I've been playing Eli and Ben all year, and Flacco's been, you know, warming the bench for me. He hasn't been doing much. So I caught him. He throws 4 touchdowns, and he throws 2 against the Pats. Just the way it goes. Funny you mention that. I have a friend who's a big Patriots fan. He's from Massachusetts, and I have a love fest with Tom Brady. And he says, yeah, but he has a propensity to throw that stupid pick at the wrong time, which is something that you just said. You just said that, and I think that's interesting.
Well,
I only
know that because my son – no, I mean, I've watched, obviously, all the Patriots games because of my son. But yesterday when he threw the interception, he sent me a text message. You know, if I can find it, I know we're on the air right now. If I can find it, I just love to quote it. But he did – when he threw that interception, he sent me a text that said – yeah, that was just like the interception that he threw in that Eagle game. Like, oh, here it is. I said, what is it with this interception? And he said, yeah, he does that sometimes. It's like that Eagles game last year. And I'm like, so you remember the interception that Tom Brady threw against the Eagles last year? I forgot that the Patriots
Malcolm
played
Butler.
The Eagles.
Yeah.
So,
Malcolm Butler took it back to the house.
Right, but he does have that propensity to he does do that, and he's arguably the greatest quarterback of all time. So, look, you pressure him. He doesn't want to get sacked. You make him move his feet. You know the whole thing. That's the book on Brady, but that's the book on every quarterback in the NFL. If you can put great pressure on him. And I'll say that's what, by the way, going back to the Giants, that's what the Giants did to Dak Prescott. Everybody who's playing Dallas the next 3 weeks is putting in the two Giant tapes. But what they did the other day was they brought 5-6, like, all the time. They gave him no time. And they kind of kept him contained pretty well in the pocket, which other teams have not been able to do. So there's certainly a way out there that you can now see how to beat the Cowboys. And the belief is, I don't know it well enough because their offensive line is so great in the run game, but the belief is the athletic fronts can get around them, that they're not as good pass blockers as they are run blockers, which I totally agree after watching a few Dallas games. That's totally true.
Yes, going back to Brady, the pick I remember, and I just had this conversation with my friend. I said, "Nah, Brady's the guy. Don't criticize him." And in the Super Bowl in 2003, they're up 11 to the Panthers in the fourth quarter, and they're at the 8-yard line. He throws a stupid pick. Jake Delhomme next play hits Musim Muhammad for an 89-yard touchdown. It's tied up a few seconds later, and they end up winning the game. And I'm like, "Wow, he was right about that." now I'm looking for it, you know. It happens once in a while, but listen, it happens to everybody, and he still is maybe arguably the greatest quarterback of all time. Steve Callis, arguably the greatest analyst of all time. I'm Joe Stazak, just thrilled and fortunate enough to be with him every Tuesday at 5:30 on the Callis Remarks with Joe Stazak and Steve Callis show. You mentioned Seattle, Steve. I know that's one of your teams, and rightfully so. Still 8-4-1, despite two of the last three games. They combined for 15 points against Tampa and Green Bay, and Russell Wilson just had one of those days. 5 interceptions, versus 1 touchdown, and don't look now, but the Packers are kind of doing the same thing they did, was it last year or the year before? They're coming on late in the season. They've won 3 in a row. You know, they put a whooping on Seattle, 38-10. And, again, that's a pretty solid secondary Seattle has, and Rodgers pretty much had some fun.
Yeah, well, I don't know. Again, I thought Seattle's defense would travel. Now, look, I guess you can't calculate the amount of the loss for Earl Thomas, because now that he's out, they've been an average defense at best.
Yes.
And you saw Cam Chancellor on the sidelines, if you watch that game, when it was 21-3, just flipping out on his teammates, and it did, like, no good. So Aaron Rodgers is coming on. Jordy Nelson, maybe he wasn't in the flow of things early in the season. Certainly Rodgers wasn't Rodgers early on, but the last few games he has been. And, yeah, I think Green Bay is a factor. I think they're going to win a bunch of games, sneak into the playoffs, and then it's the old you don't want to play that team. But I'm certainly concerned about Seattle. I've never seen Wilson play that poorly. Now, a couple of those interceptions were kind of freak bounce-offs, but, there were three others in addition to those two. So it's not like he had 3 picks and 2 of them weren't his fault. I thought Rawls rushed for 67 yards, and I think he's a real powerhouse back. But they need – now, look, their offensive line has always been their weak spot. Supposedly it had improved, and I thought, knowing that was their weak spot, I'm like, look, it's Russell Wilson. He's one of the best, get-out-of-jams, one of the best not get sacked. Certainly the best. I'm going to run in the slide and not get hurt. I've said for years RG3 should watch Russell Wilson tapes. All the quarterbacks should watch Russell Wilson tapes, but especially the smaller ones. Maybe Michael Vick years ago, he didn't have access to Russell Wilson tapes. But you got to be able to slide if you're a quarterback and you want to stay on the field. Do I think they can come back? I do. But again, I don't think you can underestimate the loss of Earl Thomas. And that's a big problem, because they do not the other bad loss to Tampa Bay was 14-5, but at least they only gave up 14 points. But if their offense is going nowhere, and Jimmy Graham has kind of fallen into the background again,
one catch for 16 yards.
Yeah, I don't know, because he is one of the best tight ends. If you're talking top three, it's him, Gronk, and somebody else you want to put in there, I think. But
sure,
or Gronk, him, I should say. They're in trouble. Can they get to the finals? I say to the Super Bowl, I say absolutely. But again, that's by elimination. Who's the team? Nobody's going to point to Dallas now. Very few of us did. I didn't point to Dallas, certainly. And after seeing what the Giants did to them, again, everybody's got their tape machines or video machines on now, and I think they're all going to see that the key is putting, although Dak's numbers apparently were good against the blitz, there's blitzing and then there's all out blitzing, and I think the Giants really went six guys a lot yesterday, or rather Sunday night, and that was the key to victory. I think there's no doubt about it.
Well, before we get to the wackiest game of the week, we'll stick in the NFC North because the Lions, to me, are the most interesting. The team has had maybe the most interesting season. They keep coming back and beating teams. I used to get criticized in Philly for liking Matt Stafford. He's not a flawless quarterback. I guess it's law relatively. Considering the dreck I was watching with the Eagles, Matt Stafford, you know, looks like Sonny Jurgensen. I always liked him. He had another comeback game. He put the Michael Jackson glove on in the fourth. I know he threw two picks. He only threw, I think, one in the previous eight games, and he comes back, and they do it again. They're now 9-4. They got to play at the Meadowlands. They're 4.5-point dogs to the Giants in the Meadowlands. I thought that line was a little high, but your thoughts on the Lions? They won like 5 of 6 and 8 of 9. They're just they just keep winning.
And that's the key to the NFL, of course. I give Matt Stafford a lot of credit, and I will say this. Traditionally, if you had to look at, say, the last 10 or 15 or 20 years, I think you would say if there's a throw-out-the-records conference when teams play, I think it would be the NFC North because, by the way, somehow Matt Barkley has played pretty well. You know, he was like left for dead a few – he was left for dead. Now he's played well three games in a row. So I don't know what the Cutler – will he be back next year? But this might be the reason why he won't be back or one of many reasons. But certainly, again, to go into Chicago in December to play the Bears – it's always going to be a tough game. I don't care what the records are. Plus, Chicago is playing well now. And you can put a lot of that on Matt Barkley. So I think the Lions are kind of the cardiac kids this year, right? They've been behind in virtually every one of their wins. I think it's 8 out of 9 or whatever it is.
Yep.
And when you look around, do I think they can beat Seattle? I don't. But what does it mean? You can throw a blanket now to me over Dallas, the Giants, Atlanta,
right.
Tampa Bay, Detroit, and much as it hurts me to say this, I would put Seattle in that mix. Now, if Seattle can somehow get, and I don't know that they will, because now they're 8-4-1, can they get home field throughout the playoffs? I don't think they're going to catch Dallas, who's 11-2, but you don't know if Dallas is going to get out of the first round, and that might be the, we have to start Tony Romo because rookies don't do well, so we don't want Dak in the first round of the playoffs to get us eliminated, which would be unfair to Dak Prescott. But I would throw a blanket over, Atlanta, great offense, not much of a defense. But I don't know, I don't see a clear favorite. Put a gun to my head, I still say Seattle. I'll also say if Washington somehow sneaks into the playoffs, and they have a chance to sneak into the playoffs, you don't want to play against that offense. And I'm sure we're going to talk about them and the whole legal thing. But you don't want to play even against Washington's offense. But they're mostly offense-oriented teams, Atlanta, Detroit. I don't know what you call Seattle now because their defense isn't great, but their offense is terrible. So they're kind of dropping. But if you had to rank them 1, 2, 3 now, Seattle would be 1 or 2 still, I think. But that's by default, frankly. But that's why teams like Detroit and the Giants and the late blooming Green Bay gets into the mix with the old anything can happen. And as we've talked about many times on this show, the Giants were 9-7 and 10-6 the two times they won the Super Bowl. And if their defense continues to improve, which might mean continues to blitz, Janoris Jenkins is a great DB. I mean, he's playing like an all-pro this year. So it's the old anything can happen. But like those other years, I think those teams aren't that great until they got to the Super Bowl, of course, and beat the Patriots. But those teams just aren't, do you think there's a real top team in the NFC? I don't.
I agree with you. Thoughts on Steve Spagnuolo? He's kind of a buddy of mine. He's married to a friend of mine's sister. I've talked to him a few times, seen him down the shore. Great guy. He's won a Super Bowl, the architect of one of those teams who knocked off the Patriots.
Absolutely.
Your thoughts on him?
Hey, Steve Spagnuolo is a great defensive coordinator, but Steve Spagnuolo has also proven if I don't have the players,
Right.
I'm not that great. You know, at the end of the day, as most of the intelligent coaches say, especially Belichick, it all comes down to the players. But to the Giants' credit, they had a terrible weakness in the defensive, throughout the defensive. So they got, you know, Vernon, they got Jenkins, they got Snacks Harrison, who's the best run stopper. You know, the Jets are crying over there because they had the best run stopper in football last year, and the Giants got him this year. And they paid a heavy, heavy, heavy monetary price, which, you know, for most of us, we say, who cares? It's not our money. But they did sign four guys to $200 million in contracts, and they've all paid off. Those guys have all played very well, and they've turned literally an awful defense into a very good defense. But as they often say with other coaches, Spagnuolo didn't forget how to coach a defense after he won the Super Bowl. But after last year's fiasco, he needed the parts to do it. They got him the parts to do it, and guess what? He can coach. So that's no surprise to me.
No, of course. I've always said, I think, you know, certainly players, you know, make you look pretty good when they're playing well and you have the horses, and not, when you don't, well, then you got some issues. You mentioned the Skins. I've always been a big Kirk Cousins fan. I came under a lot of criticism for championing his cause even a couple years back. Listen, he's not Tom Brady, but I think he's a battler. He's a competitor. I think he throws a nice deep ball. And listen, I'm a big Eagles fan, but I still enjoy watching Deshaun come back and smoke this team because of I used to get in battles every night with people calling in saying how expendable Deshaun was. Great, did they sign Odell Beckham Jr. in the last 24 hours? Did they replace Deshaun? There's talk of him signing him in the offseason and coming back to Philly. They should do that just so they don't have to play him twice a year. He has his career games against the Birds. He had a Willie Mays catch that went 80 yards, and he had another catch where he, you know, kept his feet in bounds. It was a ridiculous catch.
Amazing.
And, of course, Pierre Garçon had a touchdown. There were so many things that happened in this game. It was a wildly entertaining game, except if you're on the losing end of it. The Eagles had a botched field goal because their snapper, John Durenbos, got hurt. Brent Celek couldn't get the job done. They ended up putting in Trey Burton, who's a very talented player, a good football player. He got it done, got a field goal up. But they also had a touchdown nullified. Zach Ertz, a silly penalty that took Darren Sproles' punt return back. And they had a red zone pick by Carson Wentz early in the game. So, again, they played a lot better than they did the week before in Cincinnati. They played with effort. They played with some heart. But, you know, again, like you said, it comes down to the player, stupid. And they made some dumb plays. Zach Ertz, 10 catches, 112 yards. I'd still cut him. I'm so done with Zach Ertz with the stupid things that he does, and then he doesn't show up from week to week. But anyway, I know you loved the game just from some of the things I mentioned and how crazy it was. What's your take on what you saw?
Well, I do think you've given the listeners the answer. If there's ever Who Wants to Be a Millionaire Sports Edition, the million-dollar question is going to be, name the three long snappers for the Philadelphia Eagles when they lost to Washington in 2016. It's got to be the greatest question in the history of sports. But it is amazing because you always take those guys for granted. You really don't.
Yep.
It's the old, you don't know what you have till you miss it. And now Durenbos, he's out for the season, so that's an issue.
Yes.
And maybe Trey Burton's just going to step in and they're going to jump over Brent Celek. But Trey Burton's snap was not very good. You got to give Donnie Jones, the punter, a lot of credit because not only did he get it down, but Sturgis kind of slowed down his approach to still make that that game-winning kick. Well, not game-winning. Give them the lead kick, I should say.
Would be
but
game-winning kick,
But a few things. If Deshaun Jackson wants to go back, I mean, they should absolutely sign him. This guy is one of those. He is like an Odell Beckham type player. There aren't 10 of them in the league. I'd put Gronk in, you know, incredible game changers.
Sure.
And they have one to some degree in Darren Sproles, although he only had 5 rushes. You saw what he did on the punt return. That block it was a penalty, but the block really had nothing to do with
the
play.
Absolutely.
He would not have been tackled had been a legal block or no block. I will say this, though, in defense of Carson Wentz, after watching him he's Harry Houdini, man. He got out of so many spots.
He did.
And that's a talent. That is something that is going to help him. He did look more to me, 32 for 46 for 314 yards. He did look more with that bad interception and one touchdown pass. But he did look more to me like the first 3 weeks. So I don't say I give him a pass, but do I say he can be the quarterback of the future and more than a game manager? Well, after watching that, I think he has a chance. But if you brought back Jackson, guess what? That'll make Carson Wentz a lot better quarterback. If you can keep Sproles in the lineup healthy and use him a little more, because he's one of those rare weapons, you know. I mean, he's really, really a good player.
Great player.
So I think there's hope for the Eagles. The season's over for them. But Washington, who I picked to win that division, and they won't, but – this is a team you don't want to play. I mean, they have a stunning offense. That this guy Kelly is what a find he is, and he only went 16 for 63 in the TD. I mean, that's like 4 yards a carry, but boy, he's a punishing runner. And if you can get him a lot of carries, not 16, but if you are in a ground game and you go 25, 30 carries and it's late in the fourth quarter and you either got to get down the field to win the game or keep the lead by running the ball, this guy's your guy. Yeah. He is a beast. So I like what Washington did. It was an unbelievably interesting game. No, you know, Kerrigan was great for Washington, got the strip sack at the end, but was in Wentz's face. Wentz did have a lot of Houdinis around Kerrigan, who is, you know, an excellent pass rusher and quick, but I don't think he can really run fast. And once you get out of his reach, he's not getting you. But he made some great plays. And then that Chris Thompson, you know, 25-yard run around the end virtually untouched, the Eagles just didn't contain. So that was like obviously a big defensive mistake. But, yeah, wacky game, an entertaining game. But remember, sports, who wants to be a millionaire? That should be the first question they ask in the first edition. And nobody will get it, but people will just listen to you, give them the answer.
Yeah, we'll see what happens next next week. They have to travel to Baltimore. That should be fun, playing the Ravens. They do not fare that well down in Baltimore, and yeah, like you said, they're pretty much done, 5-8. We'll see who wants to keep their jobs for next year, but hopefully number 11 will come back as number 10 and do some things, or at least having the option and guys that you just need to keep your eye on, like Deshaun or Darren Sproles. They used to have weapons, you know, out the wazoo, and Chip Kelly stripped the team and then left.
Right.
And it would be nice to get some of that danger element back in the mix for Philadelphia.
Only Chip Kelly could trade the guys who could best implement the Chip Kelly way of playing football.
Right.
Right? How does he play? How does he play?
Right.
That's how he plays.
No,
he needs guys like them. I mean, it's unbelievable. McCoy, Jackson, those are the two best guys maybe in the NFL to play Chip Kelly football. And for whatever reason, he sent them both packing. It's still a mystery. And I was watching him because we got the Jet game, of course. And I was watching him in that game, and it's like he's not there. It's like he doesn't want to be there. I mean, it's like I'm here, but I'm not really here. And you got to wonder what he's thinking. Should I have ever come to the pros? Now, he's probably a rich man, but should I have ever come to the pros? Because his reputation has taken a tremendous hit. But he himself hit himself in the head. And now he's got a headache because he traded guys like Jackson and McCoy. He did. I'm sorry. He did. So
I know. He used to criticize McCoy for not hitting the holes. He would go around the end. Well, he led the league in rushing 1 year. 2 years later, he was third in the league. And then they bring in DeMarco Murray, who's a straight-ahead one-cut runner, and they send him outside to run sweeps.
Plus you took him from behind the Dallas line, which was, you know, if they traded Elliott, which they won't, but if you put Elliott on another team next year, he will not run as well, I'm sorry, because the offensive line, if you have a good one, is, you know, you win the games in the trenches. Nobody talks about that, but that's where you win the games. I did want to go back, if I could, to the Oakland Chiefs game.
I was just going to mention
from the prior Thursday, because I think, and look, I'm biased towards Oakland, but I think that was the worst for accuracy that Carr's thrown all year. And if you saw the close-ups, they did talk about it a little, but if you saw the close-ups on his throwing hand, he's got a wrap around his pinky. And I'm not sure, you know, if you throw a pinky, if you throw a football, a pinky is kind of an important finger. They're all important, but he was so wildly inaccurate for him and missed a couple of very easy throws that would have been touchdowns, not 10-yard gains. So, look, he played the game. He was good enough to get out there. No excuse. They lost to the Chiefs. But I think when that gets better, he's going to – that was a bad loss for them, for Oakland, because, A, I thought they could have won the game, and, B, I do think they lost the game because their quarterback wasn't accurate. So we'll just have to see. But I thought that was the biggest aspect of the game. And, again, it's the old if you're well enough to go out and play, then you can't make excuses. And I am not making excuses for him. All I'm commenting on is his lack of accuracy.
Sure.
Maybe he had a terrible accuracy game. But if you watch him, and I do, and you probably do too, he, like, never has a terribly inaccurate game.
Has a terrible game.
So we'll have to see. I think a lot depends. You know, will it be that much better next week? If you see his finger wrapped up next week, that's a problem. If he has to play like that, that's a big problem for the Raiders, and they're playing San Diego in San Diego. So I'm on the fence on that game because you never know which, you know, Phillip Rivers and San Diego team is going to show up.
And now I agree. It reminds me of Jay Cutler early in the season, and everyone criticized him for leaving the game with the mythical thumb injury. But they showed replays of some of his throws. I mean, you do need all four fingers and a thumb. And, you know, it turned out, you know, he had surgery on it, and it really does make a difference in a quarterback and his accuracy. One guy I wanted to talk about from that the Chiefs-Raiders game, and I know Andy Reid had said it a couple weeks ago, even before the game, where he scored a touchdown rushing, receiving, and special teams. He had two more the other night. I mean, this kid from West Alabama, Tyreek Hill, I'm not sure. And we talked about some explosive guys, Odell Beckham Jr., and we talked about Deshaun. This guy's money. This guy's for real. This guy's the real deal. Your thoughts on what you saw the other night?
No question. Tyreek Hill is one of those guys. Don't know if I'd put him in their category yet, but he's certainly well on his way to doing it, because that's that that's that explosiveness that you need and everybody's looking for. And frankly, very few players have it, but we've already talked about a few, including Beckham, who do have it. I think he has it, and I think he's kind of the wild card offensive weapon for the Chiefs, who have really been kind of a grind. Alex Smith makes a few throws. I don't want to call him a game manager. He's a little more than that, but he's not a franchise quarterback. And this guy could be the wild card, so they could do some damage in the playoffs as well. Now, they went into Foxborough last year and got their heads kicked in. Would that be different this year? I don't think they can beat the Patriots in Foxborough in a playoff game. But I agree that Tyreek Hill is on the verge of being one of those guys. I just wanted to mention a couple of non-game things quickly that I just jotted down over the weekend. Mike Pouncey's out for the season for Miami. Tannehill's out at least for the game. That really hurts Miami's chances playoff-wise. T.J. Yates was signed, and he's had his moments, but there's a reason he wasn't signed until, you know, today. The most interesting trivia question for today is, today is the one-year anniversary of the last time the Cleveland Browns won a game. They beat the 49ers last year, and the quarterback was the one and only Johnny Manziel. So,
Johnny football.
Yeah, I feel bad for the Browns. I thought they had a chance against the Bengals. They got down 14-0 early, and that was it. They have a very good chance to be 0-16. I still root for them. I hope they keep the coach. They have some young talent. They have Joe Thomas, some old talent. I wonder if Joe Thomas wants to go somewhere else. I mean, I watched him again, and we had great seats for that Patriots-Browns game in Cleveland. And Joe Thomas is just such a hard worker. He plays every play like he's playing in the damn Super Bowl. I don't know if it would be better for him to leave, because I think it's going to take a few years for them to get, you know, competitive. And again, to me, they're in the wrong division with the Bengals and the Ravens and the Steelers. That's a tough division. And also, we have to mention that the Rams finally fired Jeff Fisher.
Did he get two contract extensions this year and then they whack him?
Yeah, well, someone said he actually signed only one in the summertime. They just didn't announce it till recently. And I even saw Eric Dickerson on TV. He doesn't want to take credit for it, but he was boycotting Ram games until Jeff Fisher was no longer the coach. And he said, he's going back to the games now.
Yeah, he said that he didn't like Eric Dickerson criticizing his players, and I think losing 42-14 to Atlanta at home as well
was the clincher.
Clincher, and we always, I mean, that's like the joke about Jeff Fish. How does he keep, you know, getting hired and extensions and whatnot? Well, he's not there anymore, and I'm not sure what's left for Jeff Fisher, a defensive coordinator here a long time ago in Philly. That's kind of where he cut his teeth, and always liked him as a D coordinator, but he's been a head coach since he took over the Tennessee job, and yeah, he just has not had a lot of success as the head man. Of course, did he have the players? Well, you know, certainly the Rams aren't anything to write home about, but they may be someday, but I think it was time for them to go in a different direction, and they did. All right, we've got about 5 minutes left. Steve Callis along with Joe Stazak. Your picks last week, friend, and what are you looking for this week for your plays?
Yeah, last week 2-1. I like the Bucks over the Saints and Washington over the Eagles, but I also like the Seahawks over the Packers and got punished on that one. But 2-1, I do want to say briefly, the Army-Navy pick, this is how little I follow college football.
Right.
I'm sure we'll be doing stuff on the playoff, but I don't follow Army-Navy. I did not know that the Navy quarterback, who had a fantastic season, broke his foot last week and was unable to play in this last game, so that's my only excuse on Army-Navy. Although I'm glad Army won, because I always root for Army, and they've lost, what, they lose 14 in a row, I think. So I'm happy that Army won. But I think a lot of that had to do with the fact that they were starting a sophomore quarterback who had never started a game in college before. And to dump him in the Army-Navy game would be like dumping a rookie NFL quarterback in a playoff game. I'm not talking about that. I mean a rookie who's never played in an NFL playoff game. This week I got a few that I like. I am going Ravens over the Eagles because I think the Eagles, you know, they played hard at home the other day, but the Ravens are on a mission. They played the Patriots very tough. Now they're back home. Ravens -6 over the Eagles. I'm going to take a couple of road favorites, which I know isn't the best thing to take, but I think they're strong favorites. I'm going back to the Patriots over the Broncos. The Broncos have fallen off a cliff. You know, they have no offense.
Yeah.
They had very little offense last year, but they have less offense this year, and their defense isn't quite as good as last year. So I know the Patriots always have trouble playing in Denver. It's Patriots -3, which, as you know, is a 6-point swing. But look what Tom Brady just did. Yes, that was at home. But the Patriots do travel. They are the one team that does travel, and I think that's why you can like them to go all the way. And finally, I like the Steelers on the road against the Bengals. I know Steelers-Bengals is a throw out your records game, but Steelers -3 in Cincinnati. The Steelers are playing for something. The Bengals are playing for pride. And this Le'Veon Bell, we didn't talk about him the other day with 226 yards rushing. He's another one of those guys. I wouldn't say for explosiveness, but I would say him and LeSean McCoy, the shiftiness of the way they run. They're not speed burners, but they're incredible. Find the hole, make guys miss, dodge guys. And Le'Veon Bell, 226 yards in the snowstorm. The Steelers win despite Big Ben throwing 3 interceptions.
Yeah, we did some similar things this week. I'll go back last week real quick. I actually tacked on a fourth game. I went 2-1-1. I probably could have seen a better fate, but that's the way it goes. The Saints, I took the opposite of what you did, and because of the line, and that was it. And the Saints ended up losing by 5. They were getting 2.5. I took the Skins over the Eagles. I wavered a little bit. I wasn't going to change the pick, but I wavered a little bit. The line, everyone was betting the Skins. I saw the money going to the Skins, and again, I look for those things at times, and I know it's one of those games at times where you also throw the records out, whether it's down at RFK or here. Skins always play the Eagles tough. I thought the Eagles had opportunities. If they did, played football the way they're supposed to, they probably should have won the game. But again, when you bet bad teams, bad things happen. I did take the Skins. I'll take that win. I like the Giants over Dallas. They were home getting points. I like home dogs. I thought Dallas, they would have to lose at some point. I took the Patriots, as I do every week, and a little backdoor cover by Baltimore. I thought I was looking good at 23-3, but, you know, not to be.
Who do you like this week? We don't have much time.
This
who
week,
do you like this week?
I like the Ravens. Like you said, again, that's one of those games where I'm actually betting, like, against the Eagles. I like the Giants, I think, you know, -4.5 or -4.5 to the Lions. I think that line's a little high. I think the Giants over the Lions. And I'll go with my, my standard pick. I like the Patriots because I take them every week. I take them every week, and you're not going to win every game, but at the end of the season, you'll probably come out on top. We got to go, my friend. That was a quick 45 minutes. I appreciate it, Steve Callis. We obviously will catch up with you again next Tuesday at 5:30. Have a great week, my friend. Everybody listening out there, that you've been listening to the Callis Remarks with Joe Stazak and Steve Callis Show. Thanks for listening. We will catch you next week. So long, everybody.